Actress Ellen Page wants you to pretend like she's a boy and call her Elliot. And are you ready for war? What battles should we really be fighting? Stay with us as we look at these and other stories on the 5:11 News.
Now, there are two kinds of people in the world, only two kinds, not black and white, not rich and poor. There are those who are dead in sin, and there are those who are dead to sin.
After three nights of unbridled lawlessness across London, the contagion is spreading.
The problem is that God has already judged this. He has judged murder already. I don't need to question it. I don't need to ask and wonder what his plan is.
We're commanded as Christians not to participate in the works of darkness, but expose them.
Welcome back to the 5:11 News. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And on today's episode, we have a number of topics to discuss, some of which, I just got to be honest, whenever I talk about, it brings sadness to me. And I guess you could say that about the other subject as well that we're going to kind of go more extensively in today. Because the fact is that we are living in some strange times, both inside and outside of Christendom. And I think it's time for us to do a little bit of an examination about some of the people maybe that we are following, some of the people we're listening to, some of the people that are making statements that I don't think are very Christian or line up with the historic Christian faith. But I also wanted to give you guys an update for you guys who are on Patreon. And if you guys haven't been on there, it's patreon.com/goodfight. You guys can check it out there. But you guys know I uploaded a little video yesterday just giving you a little bit of update about everything that's going on at Good Fight Ministries. A lot of you may or may not have known, but we've been having a number of health issues at the ministry. Pastor Joe's been having some heart failure, and so we have been keeping that in immense amount of prayer. We're still praying that he gets out of AFib because we want many, many years of ministry. And I know for me personally, as having him as the person who's been discipling me all these years, I know that I want to have as much time with him as possible, as well as the fact that Pastor Joe Schimmel is also my father-in-law, and he's the grandfather of my children. So I've been praying and praying and praying for his health. But one of the things that the doctors were really concerned about, his cardiologist specifically, was that he would not get COVID. And, well, this last weekend, he got COVID. So we have been just seeking the Lord in prayer, just begging him, Lord, please, you know, we don't know if this is, his time. You know, we always trust in the Lord, and that's what we always have to do. It doesn't matter whether he would pass or whether he would stay here longer to minister to the saints. I know his heart's at peace, and ours need to be as well, because the fact is that we serve a good God, and we know that the judge of all the earth always does what is right. So I don't, you know, it's one of those situations that no matter what, the worst case scenario is that he gets to beat us to heaven. And that's pretty nice having that fixed hope that non-believers can't have that hope. They can try and think that there's some sort of, you know, existential presence, and, you know, that you can, you know, I can feel their vibes and all the other nonsense. But the truth is that they have no confidence. And the fact is that I serve a risen King, and I have full confidence and know full well without a shadow of a doubt that the second I go out of this earth, I go to be with the Lord. Out of the presence of man and in the presence of the Lord. And so we know we're excited for him when that does happen, but we are praying with all diligence and all fervency. Lord, if it be your will, we'd love to have him here. So he did contract COVID, so we obviously were quite nervous because I guess he pretty much lands on every, you know, high risk scale in terms of somebody who could pass away if they did have COVID. Because a lot of you guys know by this time, hopefully, that the majority of people that actually do contract COVID will be healthy at some point. They're usually get and be completely fine. I guess I can give you guys a couple of my symptoms before we get into the news. So for maybe if you haven't had it or you were asymptomatic, I can tell you kind of what it was like for myself and my family. So just about everybody outside of Adam and Heather, which is Heather would be Joe's daughter and Adam would be his son-in-law, the one who gave me, they sold their souls to rock and roll and brought me to Christ, actually. But they did not get COVID. They did go and get tested because they were ill, at least Heather was, but it looks like they were negative on the test, so that was good. But outside of them, Joe's wife, Lisa, Josiah, myself, my wife, a number of our friends as well, all did get it. Now, we obviously, most of us are in pretty good health. I know a lot of us take care of ourselves pretty well. You know, we all try to stay active and work out and things like that. And so we've been blessed. And even though we did get sick, my wife and I think I was hit with it a little bit harder. The first 3 days, I really didn't get off of the couch pretty much at all. I had a lot of lower back pains and things like that. But it was really tough, and that was why if you guys were on Good Fight or if you were on Blessed Hope Chapel for the message on Sunday, I wasn't commenting because it did kind of hurt my eyes and different things. Didn't feel very good, but my poor wife had to deal with the brunt of the household duties, actually all of them, because I was literally pretty much incapacitated. But as of about, I'd say about 12 hours ago, I got up for the first time, and now I am feeling fine. I mean, I'm not healthy all the way, but I'm feeling pretty good. But Pastor Joe, who we were more nervous about, he did test positive for COVID. It seemed to, you know, we were very concerned, you know, pouring in a lot of prayer time when we found out that he had it. But one of the things is that we, you know, he's kind of a madman. No, just kidding. You know, but he seemingly walked right through it. He had some back pain, but he sent a text yesterday that he was feeling better. And then this morning I got a text that said he felt normal, which now I don't feel normal yet. So he's beat me to that. So, you know, I praise God I'm able to at least record this message and be able to do 5/11 News because I wasn't sure how I would feel if I'd be able to sit upright enough to give some sort of message for you guys for this week. And I know Joe and myself, we hate missing any podcasts. We know you guys are blessed by them and we want to continue to give these messages out while we still can, especially because we never know when eventually we'll all get banned and won't be allowed on our social media to talk about issues, especially the issue we're going to be talking about today. I know that it's a touchy subject, and it's one that I don't take and look at it and just go, oh, these freaks, these lunatics, these weirdos. That's not my position. That's not how I take things. I when I look at those involved in homosexuality or transgenderism, which we're going to be talking about, I have sadness for them, you know, because I don't know what your background may be, but I know for me, before I was a believer, I was given over not to homosexuality, but I was given over to sexual sin. And just as with sexual sin, or for me, pride, fighting, being able to beat people up or whatever it is, these were my idols. These were my gods. And so all of these things were sins that absolutely encapsulated me. They were sins that just completely had me in chains and in bondage. And so when I see people where they're trying to find happiness, they're trying to find joy, and they're searching for it in all the places outside of the God that created them, and you can see it. You know, I when I first saw Ellen Page, who recently made a bunch of news because now she's saying she's coming out as transgender. This is her second coming out party. We'll get to that. But she was in a movie. I want to say I was pretty close to high school when I went and saw it, but I know I was not saved, but the movie was called Juno. It was kind of like an independent film, not a lot of money to it. I believe it was starring her and Michael Cera, and it actually was somewhat of a pro-life movie, very interesting movie. I'm just giving you from the lenses of a non-believer. Now, I was a Republican before I was saved, so I was pro-life, but not really, not in the sense that I cared about people's eternal life, but nonetheless, I remember thinking, wow, well, at least they didn't make abortion a good thing, you know? I remember there was an Asian girl in the movie who was a Christian, I believe, and she stood outside the abortion mill and convinced her not to kill her baby and to give it up for adoption. And I remember that movie, and Ellen Page, you know, it's very sad because I remember I really was into stand-up comedy before I was saved. And if you guys know anything about stand-up comedy, most of it is just absolutely profane. There's a few, I've listened to a couple Christian stand-up comedians. Some are really bad. Some aren't very good. But in terms of the world, most stand-up comedy is just perverse. I mean, it's pretty disgusting. I was into atheists like George Carlin, you know, Eddie Murphy and these guys that were profane, and I would listen to them. And I remember there was something about dry humor that I always enjoyed. But when it came to dry humor, I always felt like there was so much sadness, especially as a believer now, you see so much sadness behind the humor. And I felt that Ellen Page, the actress, when you watch her in that movie Juno, she's a younger girl when they filmed it. And when you watch it, you see just so much sadness. It's just one of those things. You can't miss it. It's palpable. And then I remember when she came out of the closet not too long ago. And same thing. So much sadness. And then when she, quote unquote, exposed Chris Pratt for going to a, you know, anti-homosexual church, which I believe she was talking about Hillsong. And you know, interestingly enough, they're only so anti-homosexual. But nonetheless, the anger that she has, the venom and the sadness, you can see it, and it breaks your heart. It hurts my heart to even think about the misery that people live in, the anger. Just go on Twitter and see that people are absolutely miserable. They're really just miserable. And it breaks my heart, because there is only one place where you can be found, and it's in Christ. And that will bring all joy, that you can say what Paul said, that even when you're sorrowful, you're yet always rejoicing. If you're poor, you can make many rich. I mean, this is what we get in Christ. These are the riches that we have in Christ, the joy. As I just spoke about, knowing, you know, whatever happens to Joe, regardless when it comes to this heart failure and everything that's going on, regardless of what happens, I know where he's going. I know where I'm going if COVID somehow killed me, you know, I don't think it will, but I'm just saying, I know where I'm going, and I have all that confidence. And sadly, when you think of transgenderism, and when you think of homosexuality and all these different avenues that people go down to make their identity in that, because it's not found in Christ, they're really just, they're building their foundation for happiness on sand. And happiness, I'll never trade happiness for joy. I would never make that trade. I have a joy unexplainable, even in the worst and darkest hours, even when being betrayed by those who you love, when things don't go your way, or someone you love passes away. Even during all of those things, it does not matter. That joy does not leave because of the hope that is found in my Savior, the living hope. And so I look at that, and I see that this woman, Ellen, now calling herself Elliot, you know, I look at her, and what I see is someone that is trying different ways to find fulfillment in this life. And as Christians, I praise God we can't find full fulfillment in this world. I praise God that He has set eternity in our hearts. I praise God that He has made it so that we would search after Him and be found in Him. And when I see people hoping that once I come out and identify as a lesbian, as Ellen Page did, then I'll have joy. Nope, that wasn't enough, right? It wasn't enough to be a lesbian. It wasn't enough to identify as an LGBTQ, right? Nope, she needed something more. She has different activist things, and I'll be an activist in this and save the whales or whatever it is. And this will make me find fulfillment. This will bring me joy. But she's chasing after the wind. And this next one, oh, you know what? Really, I'm a man. That's the problem. That's why I haven't felt fulfilled this entire time. I remember I had a friend growing up, and I never understood why he was always trying to be like his family members. And it always broke my heart. He was always, you know, it didn't matter what sport he played, or he was always trying to live up to his quote-unquote family name. And it always broke, I felt so bad for him. And it was always, coming to realize it now, and the same thing I'm seeing in Ellen Page as well, is the fact that, you know what? It's an esoteric need. It's this idea that this special knowledge, this secret knowledge, that once you find it, then you have fulfillment in it. That just as the Gnostics, when I have this special knowledge, and I'm going to call this out too, because this is a fact, this same thing happens in a number of different conspiratorial nonsense that people fall into. I'm not talking about real conspiracies, okay? I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about people fall into weird stuff. And that is everything that they dig into. It's what they read about. It's what they know about. Every conversation. I'm telling you this right now. We post testimonies of people coming to Christ. And for some reason, people think now is the time. I got to bring out whatever conspiracy that I've been studying for the last 5 years that has nothing to do with the gospel, nothing to do with the question at hand. And I have to be honest with you. I do believe some of this has an esoteric nature to it, that people think they're finding secret knowledge, but really what they're doing is just information. Always learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Why don't we study the scriptures to show ourselves approved? Why don't we care about the scriptures and what the scripture has to say? That's what should be most important to us. And I'm not saying it isn't good to expose wickedness. That's what we do at Good Fight Ministries. But it's really, really important that we have our scales weighted properly, and we recognize where we are in Christ and what his word says, and where our time is spent in what we are trying to expose and what we're trying to learn about. You know, what is it an idol to you? These different theories that you're going down, is that an idol to you? Do you spend more time studying that and reading QAnon and waiting for the next drop of information than saying, Lord, please, show me wonderful things in your word. Open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your word. That's a prayer that I try to pray every single day, that prayer. And I wanted to read this because this is going back a little bit to Ellen Page and transgenderism as a whole, because Ellen Page and every other transgender, I do believe a lot of this is lined up with Gnosticism. And I'm not the only one who's seen that and discovered it. Now, I don't agree with this theologian on a lot of stuff. We have some major differences, but he did say this, and I thought it was very, it just lined up with something that I noticed as well. But it has to do with Gnosticism and transgenderism. And here's the quote. According to theologian N.T. Wright, ancient Gnosticism has surged to become a, quote, controlling myth of our age. In the Gnostic worldview, the material world is essentially evil. As a result, all the so-called natural distinctions in the world, for example, the difference between male and female, or the notion of there being a natural order to human sexual relations, are at best illusory and, at worst, corrupted deceptions. All that belongs to the outer world of society and religion, indeed the outer world of your own body, it's all irrelevant and deceptive. Now, if you want to know just in a nutshell, one of the easiest criteria, I guess, when you ask somebody what is Gnosticism, because there were so many different schools of Gnosticism, you know, whether it's the Valentinian school, Marcus, right, Marcion, you know, and so forth. You know, you had these different schools of Gnosticism, but typically every single one of them came down to the fact that matter is evil. And so that's what he's saying. In the Gnostic worldview, the material world is essentially evil. And as a result, the so-called natural distinction in the world, those also, guess what, would be evil. And so I do believe there is a root here. I think Satan is behind it. He hates that we are made in the image of God. I believe Satan is behind confusing these people. That's why the suicide rate in transgenders and so forth is very, very high, and it doesn't get any lower when they have when they mutilate themselves and pay for someone. And sadly, they're doing it at a younger and younger age, and it just it hurts my heart. And the fact is I think that's because they're searching for fulfillment, and fulfillment is only found in Christ. And sadly, Satan will keep them with that carrot dangling in front of them, that lie, over and over again, and search for it. And I pray that there'll be some evangelists that go and expose the carrot for what it is, and expose them to what the true gospel is. But I wanted to bring something out, and I think I'm already getting pretty low on time. I got about less than 10 minutes left, so I got to try to talk about this. But this is something I recently saw on Jackie Elnor's Facebook. She does, I believe, Christian Sentinel Radio, as well as On Point Preparedness talked about this. Now, this is something they've been bringing up for a while, and it's something that's been on my heart for a while too, and it is this idea of warfare from the Christian perspective. And I wanted to talk about this because I think people are getting ready to fight the wrong war. I think people are getting ready to fight a war that is different than the war, that the battle that the scriptures talk about under the new covenant. Because what's happening is people are preparing for this civil war in America, and now is the time to fight. And I'll read it. This is from Amir Safadi. He says, quote, this is a tweet from 5:30 a.m. on December 3rd. It feels like the eve of the American Revolutionary War, the globalist elite and its minions, the media, and the Democratic Party are now replacing the British government and military. If the patriots are the same patriots, then the outcome should be the same. I got to be honest with Amir here. That is not the battle I'm called for. I'm not called for this shoot Democrats. I'm not called to that. Scripture in no way tells me I'm called to that. In fact, this has been a Bible-twisting kind of position since at least Augustine. You see, it was Augustine, when debating the Donatist, he actually quoted Luke chapter 14, verse 23, about compelling them to come in. You guys know the marriage feast, the parable of the marriage feast, compel them to come in. And he said that this had to do with authorizing the use of force and violence, guys, to compel people. That's wrong. Go read the text. The fact is they try to convince them to come in. They invite and try to convince. It's the exact opposite, exactly the opposite of what Augustine tried to teach there is what actually the scriptures teach. And I want to point this out because we are getting into dangerous territory. And I want to say this. I am somebody who owns an AR-15, okay? I like going shooting with my friends. I like going, I don't mind having a weapon around my house to defend it. I'm not a pacifist. I don't think a pacifist is a position that, from scripture. I don't believe that you can show me in scripture that it's wrong that if somebody comes to attack my family or someone comes and attacks someone, that I cannot defend those people, in violent manner if I have to. I don't believe it is unscriptural to defend oneself. If somebody was coming in to rape my wife, I'm a coward if I do nothing about that. But I want to point this out. That doesn't mean that I then say, guys, let's get our guns together and let's start killing off these Democrats and the media. Be ready for a revolutionary war, and that we're going to be the winners in this. Guys, what on earth? When could Jesus have not been more clear in John 18:36 when he says, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting, so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this world. Guys, God's kingdom is not of this world. Those who live by the sword will die by the sword. I got to be honest with you. It makes me really nervous how so many New Apostolic Reformation proponents, especially when you understand their eschatology and you understand what it means to them, that they will build the kingdom of God on earth here. It makes me really nervous that they're all siding all on the same side, all on the side of the right. And I'm not saying Amir is part of the NAR. I don't want to say that. I think that he's got to be really careful with these words, and I think these words are not befitting the kingdom of God, in all honesty. I do not think we should be getting ready as Christians for revolutionary war. I think if you go back and look at the early church and you see what it looked like when they were being mowed down, you see that, guess what? The blood of the Christians was the seed of the church. The fact is that I can defend the meek. I can defend those who are being unjustly, you know, beaten or somebody's trying to murder them. But that doesn't give me the right to then take arms and say, we're going to take this country. It's so sad because I think about it now. This is the injustice. This is the injustice that you want to stand up for. You're talking about since 1973, millions of babies murdered, and you didn't take up arms. I'm not telling you to take up arms there, but I'm asking, at what point do we say, why now, when you've watched babies being slaughtered, but now you're moved to compel? Why? It's just interesting to me. And I think it's not actually what the scriptures teach, that, you know, in the end times, we're going to band together and we're going to take out the media and the Democrats and we'll win this revolutionary war. And then we'll be able to preach the gospel freely. By the way, the fatter the belly has gotten in America, the worse it has been in sharing the gospel here. Try sharing the gospel on the streets. Guys, the fact is that when you share the gospel on the streets, you can be used to hearing absolutely, even over and over again, I'm a Christian, but, I'm a Christian, but. The fact is that but is should just say, I'm actually not a Christian, okay? I'm a Christian by name only, is what that but means. And over again, when I ask people and they tell me they're a Christian, they give me other identifying properties about why they're a Christian. Things that are not found in the scriptures. So I believe the biblical illiteracy here is absolutely damning. And the fact that there are so many people here in this country that absolutely, positively have no idea what true biblical Christianity is. And the fact that we have had nothing but fatted calves here. And the fact that we've had such freedom here to share it has only gotten the Christian, and I don't want to say the Christian church, because I think a lot of them are not true Christians. I think a lot of the people that are, you know, listening to Joel Osteen and Kenneth Copeland, and now with Bethel and Hillsong. I know Hillsong's Australia, but, you know, it's got a pretty big following out here too, especially if you connect some of the Hillsongs and then Zoe Church and things like that with the celebrity types. But guys, I think we look at these things and we say, wait a second, I think where persecution is, typically that's where the gospel is spread at its best. Not that we shouldn't be praying, please, Lord, bring me persecution. But if we think that we are going to now take arms up and that we're going to lead some sort of revolution, and guys, I see that all the time. I saw it on our comments on our eschatology discussion, that people, that we're going to lead some revolution rather than revival. People were saying that. Now, I don't believe in an end times revival. I think that's not actually biblical. But what I do believe is that there's an end times deception. I do believe that there is a great falling away. And I don't believe it's only on the left. When I look at the New Apostolic Reformation, when I look at people that are usually sound in doctrine sharing Sean Foyt stuff all over the place about how great it is that he's standing up to the man there with his worship, right? And when I see people sharing stuff about Lance Wallnau and these heretics, guys, it makes me really nervous because they're lining up a lot with a lot of people that I love. And we need to be careful. We need to mark and avoid. We don't need to say, oh, well, at least they're getting... No. We need to mark and avoid these people because they're not true believers in Christ. And if anyone's telling you, get ready to bear arms so we can fight for the revolution, I'm asking you, what spirit are you of? Because I'm going to go to battle, But my battle is going to be won on its knees, in the scriptures, and daily as I go out and preach the gospel. And I preach the kingdom of God against the dominion of darkness and watch people go from that dominion of darkness into the dominion of his marvelous son. God bless.
The 5:11 News with Chad Davidson has been brought to you by Good Fight Ministries, bringing you news and commentary from a Christian perspective. This show can be heard every Friday wherever podcast shows are available, or visit 511news.org. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to being with you next week on the 5:11 News.